Yeah, Oregon was a dog, like 1.5 point dog, I think it opened up as, and then it flipped to Oregon being a 1.5 point favorite. Of course, it goes back to Washington being favored, and now they're favored by 2.5, 3, 3.5 in some books, but every time it gets to 3.5, the Oregon backers are just pounding it. So,
good morning, good afternoon, and good evening from wherever you may be joining us. This is The Dollar Parlay, episode 101, the Dalmatians episode, brought to you by the Armchair All-Americans. Take a seat. Now, Campbell, just as important as who we're going to be betting on is who we're betting with, and that's why I always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, they have great reviews online, and their mobile site's easy to use. I'm recommending my bookie because it's a service that's been good to me. When you win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, over-under on how many fantasy points players will score, and the most rewarding player perks in the industry. Join now, and MyBookie is going to match your first deposit dollar for dollar. And if you use the promo code $25, they'll also throw in $25 of free play. So you can get up to $1,000, $1,025 in free play at MyBookie. Promo code $25. You play, you win, you get paid. You ready to get paid, Campbell?
I mean, of course I'm ready to get paid, PC. Jeez, I mean, how many times do we have to go through this?
The old redundancy.
My goodness. 10-2 against the spread in college football, BC. How do you want it? Do you want it cash? You want a check? You want a money order?
You want Venmo? You just want direct deposit? You want some Bitcoin? And I mean, there's a few ways that they could work out the transfer there, but 10-2.
Let's look back real quick. Duke +3, that hit. They won outright. Oregon +3.5. That was a thriller. Won in overtime. Iowa State +7. They won outright over West Virginia. Called that one big time. And Virginia at home against Miami. Just a very bad spot for Miami. Virginia wins that one outright. So a lot of dogs, BC. We profited last week. It was very good. And now we just have to remain level-headed as we enter week 8 of college football.
Yeah, after a weekend like that, you can be prone to maybe some irrational picks from time to time. But let's stay locked in. Let's continue to do our homework. And let's start with the 9 a.m. Saturday games. We're going to go ahead and start with Oklahoma-TCU. This is going to be an ABC game at 9 a.m. And you have Oklahoma as an 8-point favorite at TCU. So they're coming off the Red River rivalry. They won that game 48-45, had a week off. And now they're going to what we've learned is not the most intimidating of environments, not the most hostile place to play, TCU. And the Horned Frogs, you know, really need to turn this around, looking at 1-2 in the conference.
Yeah, Oklahoma has had some success against Gary Patterson's defense in the past. Last season, BC, they beat him twice. They beat them in the regular season, and then they absolutely annihilated them in the Big 12 championship game, 41-17. Yeah. So Oklahoma has TCU's number, and TCU, ever since watching them in that Ohio State game, haven't been the biggest fan. They can't put up a lot of points. The last three games, they haven't put up over 17 points. And I know Oklahoma's offense has some firepower. Hollywood Brown, Marquise Hollywood Brown, that is. He's going to be a big factor in this game. TCU 73rd in the country against the explosive pass. So you know Oklahoma is going to be airing the ball out. And Oklahoma is just really excited to get back on the field after that loss to Texas. You know that they're just looking to make a statement here after that loss and really get themselves back into the conversation here in the Big 12. So I really like Oklahoma to come out here, even on the road, make a statement and put up a lot of points against this TCU defense, which TCU is known for their defense, but offensively, they haven't been able to keep up with teams, and I just do not see them keeping up here against Oklahoma. The other thing is TCU is 2-14 against the spread in their last 16 home games, so you know, that's not going to be good for you. Oklahoma 8-0 in their last 8 road games, but only 2-6 against the spread. Fuck it, BC. I'm still laying the points with Oklahoma. -8.5. That's going to be my play at 9 a.m. on ABC Saturday morning.
Yeah, we're looking at a total that opened 59.5, ticked up to 61.5. I don't see Oklahoma having any problem covering this number, a team that's averaging 8.9 yards per play offensively. My only question is how TCU would be able to keep up offensively on the scoreboard in order to cover this total. And, you know, that just makes me think that Oklahoma should be a double-digit favorite in this. So I agree, short number. Let's go ahead and lay the 8. And let's move on to another interesting matchup here, a couple brother-sister schools, Michigan at Michigan State, number 6. At number 24 in the nation. This one's on Fox at 9 a.m., and you have a touchdown and a hook. 7.5-point favorite. Some shops now moving to 7. Actually opened 5, so originally some money on the favorite, some money on Michigan, the Wolverines. And they're a touchdown favorite here at Michigan State. We've seen the total come down from 45 to 41. And once again, the story with Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines is they can't win the big games. And this is one on the road. I'm curious to see what you think of this one. It seems like an obvious sharps versus Joes play on this one, pros versus Joes, sharps versus squares on this one, where the average bettor would look to just lay Michigan -7 because Michigan State doesn't have a strong resume. But are you looking to grab Michigan State +7.5 at home?
Michigan State has dominated this series as of late. They've won 8 of the last 10, so they've been the superior team in the state of Michigan this decade. And Michigan State, remember 2 years, I think it was 2 years ago, BC, remember that punt where Michigan was lining up?
Yeah, the last play.
The last play.
They literally, the only thing they had to do was punt
the ball. All they had to do was punt the ball. In fact, they didn't even have to punt the ball. They could have just, like, fumbled the ball and laid on it, and then the time would have ran out or whatever. But, of course, the punt was blocked, returned for a touchdown, buzzer beater. That was probably the wildest finish I've seen in college football.
Yeah, I mean, it's harder to top that as a finish in college football, in any sport, really.
Very close to the ending in that Alabama-Auburn Iron Bowl with a missed field goal returned 109
yards.
Taking
back 108, 109, yeah. Auburn's going to win the football game.
That was just crazy. So, and that's why you love college football, BC, because it really is never over until the clock hits zero. And we've seen it time and time again. And yes, to answer your question, I'm going to take the points of Michigan State based on the history here. I will say I've been impressed with this Michigan team in particular. Jim Harbaugh, he's gotten a lot of heat over the last couple years here. And some people have been calling for his head. But they've been impressive, BC, the number one defense in the country. Higdon at the running back position. I mean, he's broken off 5 straight 100-yard rushing games. So, I mean, they're getting a lot of production in the rushing game, and they brought in Shea Patterson for a reason, BC. And in this game specifically, he's going to need to make plays. Michigan is going to need to protect the football. They cannot have these costly turnovers against a Michigan State team that will capitalize off them, and especially with Michigan State being at home. And it's just Michigan State's just a sneaky team when they play Michigan. Michigan 1-2 against Michigan State under Jim Harbaugh. And Michigan State's run defense is very, very good. So Higdon is going to have, you know, his work cut out for him. But if Higdon is able to break off a couple big runs and Shea Patterson is able to throw the football successfully throughout the game, Michigan could see some success here. But at the end of the day, I mean, look at this total, BC, 40.5. This is a very, very low total. An early kickoff. Winds are supposed to be 15 to 25 miles per hour in this game. And
take the under and grab the points.
Take the under, grab the points. I mean, to me, it says if Michigan State's able to put up at least 17 points, you're looking at a push here at the very least. So I'm going to go ahead and grab those points of Michigan State, +7, +7.5, whatever you can get there.
Similar location in the country and similar situation where you have a very low total and a big dog here. This time it's a road dog. I'm looking at the Maryland Terrapins at number 22, Iowa. Are they number 22? I believe number 19 now. The Iowa Hawkeyes. I'm looking at grabbing the points here. You had a total that opened 50 down to 44.5. wouldn't really have to worry about the scoring as long as Maryland can score, what, three touchdowns in that game?
Right.
And I certainly like your chances of grabbing double digits with them.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure about that one, BC. I don't think I'm going to have a side here on the spread. It is homecoming day for the Iowa Hawkeyes. They're coming off of two road victories at Minnesota, where they won 48-31, and at Indiana, 42-16. So putting up over 40
points. Wow, pretty convincing. And then now they're coming home. It's homecoming time.
Homecoming.
Maybe we stay away from that one. Okay.
Yeah, definitely not a game that I'm going to be taking Maryland in the points or necessarily laying Iowa, but I think Iowa is safe to bet on the money line here in a little parlay action.
No, not safe, ladies and gentlemen. Don't touch that. We've seen Maryland pull off the upsets. Next game here, an enormous favorite in the Big Ten, Wisconsin, 24.5. You're going to see this one on FS1 at 9 a.m. Number 23 in the nation, favored by 24 against Illinois. Any thoughts on this one? Total 57.
Well, Wisconsin coming off a disappointing performance against Michigan. I thought Wisconsin was going to hang in there, to be honest with you, BC, but Michigan, definitely the superior team, and they really showed how strong they are on the defensive front and in the running game as well. It was a close game at halftime, but Michigan pulled away. And I think Wisconsin is coming out here with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, going against a very, very inferior team in Illinois. And so I think Wisconsin is going to put it on against Illinois here at home. And if I had to make a lean, I'd say Wisconsin covers the spread here, but definitely, again, not a game I'm going to touch. There's too many games on the board to bet.
Are you going to touch Army hosting the Miami, Ohio? What are they, the Hawks or the Eagles or something?
Yeah, I'm really liking Army in this matchup, BC. I like them to win the football game. Looking at the spread, I'm going to have to take a closer look at it. They're coming off of back-to-back victories. And before those two victories, you remember that game at number 5 Oklahoma, where they took Oklahoma to overtime, right? Was that, did they go to overtime in that game? I'm pretty sure they did. Yes, they did. They lost in overtime 28-21. So that's very impressive in itself. And besides that, their only loss was to Duke at Duke. That was a game we had Duke, of course. So I think Army is a very, very strong team this year. They went at Buffalo, won 42-13. Buffalo is a very, very strong team themselves, and we'll get into that game, the Buffalo matchup for this weekend. But I like Army to win this football game, no doubt. And what are they laying, 8, BC?
Yeah, they actually opened 12.5, came down to now only 7.5. So does that concern you at all?
That does concern me. I mean, you can't, you know, the number doesn't lie.
It's a pretty big move to go over 10 and down to 7.5. from double
digits.
Yeah,
that's pretty significant right
there. I feel like we've seen some moves against them this year, and it certainly hasn't been a problem with them covering. But you mentioned the Buffalo-Toledo game. Let's jump to that now. We have a flip favorite, ladies and gentlemen. Flip favorite alert. The Buffalo, what are they? The Buffalo Buffaloes?
Against I know, you want to say the Rockets. Buffalo Bills, right?
They're a 1-point favorite. Total open 65, coming down to 62. I'll be honest, Campbell, I don't know too much, but I do know that Toledo's known for being a high-powered offense. And I know that the, you know, Buffalo Bulls, that's what they are. They're 6-1 on the season, 3-0 on the road. So I'm curious what your angle is on this one. Can't deny the market on such a kind of no-name game with a flip favorite from a field goal dog to a 1-point favorite.
Toledo, you mentioned their offense. It's not the same offense anymore. Their defense is also god-awful. They're giving up 49% successful plays defensively, and they've given up 36 or more points in 4 of the last 6 games. So, I mean, they're just giving up points galore, BC. On top of that, Buffalo, this is their first 6-1 start since 1959, so they're riding on a high right now. Buffalo is a team to be reckoned with, and in fact, I believe, what did they do? They just lost like last week or the week before, but before that, I mean, they were one of like the final 20 teams undefeated in the nation. This is another game, though, that there's going to be some high winds, BC. 20-30 mile per hour winds in this game. Total has dropped a little bit from the opening. I think it was somewhere around 62.5, 63. Now it's 61.5. So I like Buffalo here. They've covered 6 of the last 7 games this season. They opened +3, like you mentioned, -3 currently. They're 4-0 against the spread in their last 4 conference games. 4-1 against the spread in the last five head-to-head against Toledo, and they're very, very good on the road. So far this season, they've beaten Temple, a very impressive win, and Rutgers on the road, a Big Ten opponent. The other big thing here, BC, is that Toledo cannot protect the quarterback, and that's a problem because Buffalo has sacked opponents 16 times this year, and Toledo has only 4 sacks on their defensive front, and they've allowed 17 sacks. So
you gotta win the line of scrimmage.
Exactly. So Toledo cannot protect the quarterback. They've allowed 17 sacks this year. Buffalo is great at getting to the quarterback. They've had 16 sacks this year.
Yeah, and
I expect Buffalo to be all up in that backfield all day long. Buffalo should be more of a, I mean, closer to a touchdown favorite, honestly, BC. So
yeah,
I'm going all
three
Buffalo
or four
in this game.
Even on the road, no problem. Clearly a mature team. Let's go to the 9:20, 9:30 slate. A couple ACC matchups for you. You have the Syracuse Orange as a 10-point favorite over the UNC Tar Heels. But Campbell, the Tar Heels are getting all their players back from suspension. Maybe that's why the line opened 11 and it's down to 10.5, 10. And that total ticking up from 62 up to 66. What are your thoughts here? I personally wouldn't be comfortable laying 10 with the Orange men, even at home. They're undefeated at home, and UNC hasn't won a game on the road, 1-4. But do they bounce back now?
Well, the good news for Syracuse is that they are coming home. They just had back-to-back road losses at Clemson, number 3 Clemson. And you remember that game? That was close. They almost pulled off the upset. They only lost 27-23. Of course, a lot of quarterback controversy there, injury. And Pittsburgh, that was a very tough loss for them. They lost 44-37. Their defense has been giving up a lot of points, but they do return home where they're 3-0 this season. They beat Florida State, you know, not too much to brag about there. And they beat UConn, which is, again, bottom 10 team in the nation. But North Carolina isn't a great team themselves. So I think Syracuse, behind Eric Dungy and company, they'll get the win here, but definitely not a game that I'm comfortable in laying double digits.
Well, here's another big favorite at home. I think we can agree that they're probably a safe money line pick and that the Duke Blue Devils will be able to beat the Virginia Cavaliers. They're a touchdown favorite at home, total coming down from 45-44. A team that you've been riding a little bit this year, and in my opinion, one of the best linebacking cores in the nation. They're 5-1 this year. And then you have Virginia, known for a good defense, and capitalized last week on a freshman quarterback. What was that guy, a high school senior or something? So here, clearly stepping up in class, going up against the Duke Blue Devil.
Yeah, Virginia, great spot last weekend when they faced Miami against a freshman quarterback making his first road start. So we were all over that one. And this weekend, I'm going to fade the Virginia Cavaliers, although Virginia is one of the most improved teams in college football this season. Quarterback Bryce Perkins has really put himself on the map. Not the best statistically, but the guy is a dual threat guy, and he's rushed for 400 yards this season, 3 touchdowns on the ground. He's thrown for 11 through the air. And I just like the direction that Virginia is going. But preseason, BC, we talked about Duke as a team that, you know, we're taking on the season total, the season win total over. They already have 5 wins on the season so far. Very impressive. I'm going to continue to ride my Duke Blue Devils, BC, and I think that they win this game, and I think there's a very good shot that they cover. I'm not going to make an official play on this currently. Again, stay tuned to the Twitter at the Dollar Parlay for all official plays, but for now, I'm just going to say the Duke Blue Devils get a nice victory at home against Virginia.
17-point favorite, Middle Tennessee. What are they, the Blue Raiders or something? They're going to beat Charlotte, so you can throw that in your Moneyline parlays if you guys would like. But let's talk about Bama now, Campbell. They're going to Tennessee, the Volunteers, volunteering to lose a game with the Roll Tides. The old weekly question, Campbell, will they cover 28.5? They're 4 touchdown favorites, as always. They're probably covered in the first half. What's the first half line?
First half line is 18.5. I believe it was the exact same last week, and I was scared because of the number. But of course, Bama covers anyway.
Well, total opened 60.5. It's down to 57. So I'm curious what you're going to think here. I'm obviously 7-0. Tennessee, on the other hand, 3-3, pulling off an amazing upset victory at Auburn last week. Clearly able to beat up on a, you know, kind of weakened, underperforming Tigers team, but a Volunteer defense that was impressive nonetheless. Do you expect them to somewhat hang and maybe score a couple touchdowns? What does it take to cover 30?
Right, and I think Auburn, I mean, just Auburn is not the team people thought they would be. Jared Stidham is not the truth. He's not a number one draft pick. He's not a first rounder. He's not a second rounder. He's not even a third rounder. So Auburn Tigers have been just a huge disappointment, and I believe since they beat Bama last season, I don't know the exact record, but there's something like 3-4 or something very average, BC. It's like below 500. So Auburn just, so, you know, even though the Volunteers had a great win against Auburn, it's not like Auburn is Bama or anything like that. This is Alabama, and Alabama is averaging 63.5 points per game in their two road games this season, BC. That's just unbelievable. And Bama's going to be facing a former assistant to Nick Saban, Jeremy Pruitt. He is the head coach of Tennessee.
Okay. Now, okay, from the same coaching tree.
From the same coaching tree, and Nick Saban is 12-0 against his
assistants. We know that he's going to win the game. That's not the question.
You know he's going to win the game, but yes, the question is, will he cover? I believe they will cover, BC, and in fact, this is a game where, I mean, all year, the first half has been money. I'm going to take the first half minus 18.5, and I'm going to take the full game minus 28.5, minus 29. It doesn't matter. I'm going to take it because this isn't non-conference anymore. This is conference, and Alabama is going to continue to pour it on. And, of course, they don't need to continue to pour it on, like, all the way till the final buzzer. But the thing
is, they're going to play until teams quit. I mean, I really like that quote where they – that because obviously you need to win the game and you need to build a comfortable enough lead. But we see a lot of these college teams play past that. And to what degree do you need to continue to, I guess, impress the AP polls or the powers that be? Well, for Alabama, their barometer is when the other team quits.
Exactly. And so they just beat the shit out of other teams, BC, until the other team completely just gives up, just rolls over on their backs and waves the white flag. Now, in those games that Nick Saban is facing his assistants, BC, they have an average margin of victory of 38-11. So that already right there almost covers the spread in itself. And Alabama is going to continue to roll. Roll Tide, BC. And our boys at College Football Unlimited, shout out to College Football Unlimited, have this game projected at 48-12, Bama. And honestly, BC, I just cannot help but think about that game between West Virginia and Tennessee, where Tennessee kind of hung in there a little bit in the beginning, and you thought, oh, maybe they're going to cover. I think they were like 10-point dogs or something.
Right.
And it, sure enough, West Virginia pulls away for a 40-14 victory. So the Vols only put up 14 points against West Virginia's defense, and West Virginia scored 40 on the Vols. Granted, that was earlier in the season, but I mean, what do you think Bama's gonna do? I mean, they're gonna put up 50. They're gonna put up 50 plus, and they're gonna allow 10. And I'm going to also take the over, BC.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because Sportsline has this game 49-11.
Oh, what do
you know?
So
the same 11 number that you have there, and definitely covering the spread. A 28.5, not going to get the job done. They're going to get it by more than 30 here. Let's go to a smaller spread, 10 points smaller now. The Washington Huskies hosting the Colorado Buffaloes. Now, we had Colorado as one of our two losses out of the 12 games that you played last week, 10-2. You know, this is one of the ones that got us late night. We had Colorado +7 at USC. and USC kind of went up 7-0 and never really looked back. Here this week, they're at number 15, Washington. This is on Fox at 12:30. Definitely going to be a lot of eyes on it. You have a lot of public taking the 17 points with, you know, one of their sweetheart football teams. But I have a feeling Washington handles business here. Washington coming off that Oregon loss, they're going to bounce back at home.
Washington is going to bounce back here, BC. It's kind of a big spread, and Colorado's got a good offense, and you never know when LaVisca is going to go off, and they got great coaching, and you know, maybe they're a little bit fired up too because they had a disappointing loss. So it's really two teams coming off of, you know, disappointing. I mean, more so Colorado disappointing in their performance in general. Washington just heartbreaking, right? Because they had a chance there right at the end of regulation to kick a field goal and win the game. Mario Cristobal, head coach of Oregon, calls three timeouts.
You gotta love it. I mean, that's the ultimate icing the kicker.
The ultimate icing on the cake.
Or four in a row, and that's not going to get the job done.
Nah, it's not. And lucky for the Ducks, lucky for me, lucky for all Oregon backers.
Lucky duck,
right? We got the win there, and Washington suffers the loss. And you know, it's funny because, you know, a lot of people, including myself, think that Stanford in the Stanford game, Oregon should have pulled that one off. But of course, it's like karma comes back around and we win the Washington game. So it's kind of even now, right? But I still wish we were undefeated, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I still feel like you should have won the Stanford game. Let's talk about another potential lock here. The Penn State Nittany Lions, two touchdown favorites at Indiana. This one's going to be on ABC at 12:30. Number 18 in the nation at the Hoosiers.
Yeah, Penn State is going to dominate this game, BC. Indiana is a good team at home. Like, they're kind of a sneaky team when they're playing at home. But Penn State, just too much firepower, BC. And Trace McSorley and company, I feel like they got a chip on their shoulder. I feel like a lot of people are counting them out right now. And I wouldn't be surprised, BC, to see Penn State really put on a run here towards the end of the season and possibly run the table. And I don't know what that means in the national picture exactly. But, you know, Indiana, again, they're going to put up a fight. Penn State is coming off a two home games, so this is kind of their first road trip since they went at Illinois, and that was kind of a cakewalk. They had two very tough games versus Ohio State, versus Michigan State, lost both of those by, you know, it was a one-score game. So, I mean, you know, technically Penn State could have won both of those games, BC, and I feel like they're really going to come into this game fired up, and they're going to beat the brakes off of Indiana.
What do you think about Minnesota at Nebraska? We saw Scott Frost opened as a touchdown favorite, and now they're -4, opened total 57 down to 54. I'm not so sure about that. I'm looking at Minnesota, the Golden Gophers, as potentially an underdog play here.
Yeah, I just feel like this is a game I'm going to stay away from, BC, because it seems to me, honestly, that Nebraska is the play because I'm so shocked that they're favored. But Minnesota is coming off of three straight losses, Maryland, Iowa, and Ohio State. But I just feel like looking at the line that Nebraska is the play here. And the fact that it hasn't moved too much, right? I mean, it's been like
It's come down a little bit. So they were bigger favorites at first.
Yeah, it seems to me like this game should be more closer to a pick'em or Minnesota favored by a little bit. But I think Nebraska is starting to get a little bit of momentum here. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, again, they throw in a little new wrinkle in the offense there and they surprise some people.
New wrinkle. Shout out to Todd Furman.
Shout out to Todd Furman right there. And so coming off of that heartbreaking loss at Northwestern, you know that they felt they had that game in the books. So I think Nebraska's the play in this game, BC, but definitely not going to lay 4.
Well, don't lay 4 with Nebraska. If anything, I say take the Golden Gophers. Whatever you decide, just as important as which side you decide is who you decide to bet with. And I want to recommend you guys go over to MyBookie because they're going to match your first deposit dollar for dollar. Most importantly, when you win, they pay. They've got in-game live betting. They let you do over-unders on how many fantasy points a given player scores. And some of the most rewarding player perks in the industry. The promo code is $25. They'll also give you a $25 free bet and up to $1,000 in free play. You play, you win, you get paid. Campbell, let me ask you about the two 1 p.m. games that we have here, an SEC and a Pac-12 game, respectively. Let's start with Missouri, the Tigers, hosting also the Tigers, but the Memphis Tigers. And they're looking like 10-point favorites, 9.5, depending on where you're looking. And I'm thinking that the Memphis Tigers can probably hang with them. I mean, call me crazy here. There's probably going to be a shootout. 73 is the total. You thinking Drew Lock can cover double digits?
Yeah, a shootout is definitely what we're looking at here, BC. Missouri, Drew Lock, you know he can throw the ball. Memphis, they hung in there with the number 10 team in the nation. The defending national champs, that is, UCF.
Yeah, undefeated two years running.
Right. So UCF almost lost their first game in 2 years, but of course they held on for a 31-30 victory. And Memphis had a good sizable lead in that game. I think it was a 2-touchdown lead at one point there. Maybe it was at halftime. So you know Memphis is kicking themselves there. They know that they could hang with UCF, so they have confidence. And you know they have a chip on their shoulder going on the road here. But here's the thing, BC. They haven't won a road game all year. They went to Navy and they lost 22-21, another 1-point loss. They went at Tulane and they lost by 16, 40-24.
So they're 0-2 straight up and 0-2 against the spread. Meanwhile, the Missouri Tigers are 3-0 at home against the spread.
Right. So I'm looking at, if anything, I'm just looking at the total here, BC. Now, can you tell me, has this been moving up a little bit?
Yeah,
the total?
It's ticked up from 72 up to 73.
Wow. I still think that that's not high enough. I think Missouri and Memphis is in for a shootout, and I'd be leaning on the over in this game. This is going to be a fun one to watch, BC. In fact, I will be tuning into this matchup at 1 p.m. on Saturday, but I will not be taking a side in the game.
And sometimes there's no ceiling to how many points can be scored in a game. I mean, they can keep going.
Oh, yeah.
The total just needs to be set at kind of a reasonable number. It's the same type of thing we see in the NFL with some of these high 50s. You had the Pats Chiefs at 60, highest total of the year. That game was tied 40-40 at one point, Campbell. I mean, no problem. Here's another high total, 58, though, kind of closer to a high NFL total. Coming down from 61, we're talking about the Cal Bears at the Oregon State Beavers. Campbell, do you have any respect for the Beavers? I know you probably don't as a Ducks fan, but they're getting 7.5 at home.
Their running back, Jamar Jefferson, I believe is third in the nation in rushing yards, BC.
Okay.
So this guy is averaging 6.7 yards a carry, almost 900 yards on the season.
Oh, that's right. I remember him kind of scaring me in one of the games that I went against him with my money line lock.
It's crazy. I mean, of course I'm a Ducks fan and, you know, screw the Beavs, but I mean, looking at their stats here, BC, it's a little impressive. I mean, their quarterback, Connor Blunt, 7 touchdowns, 1 pick. I mean, that's a nice little ratio there. Not a whole
nice
lot of yards.
Nice ratio, great name.
Great name, Connor Blunt. You know, maybe he's related to LeGarrett Blunt. It's spelled exactly
Perhaps.
The same. It's not spelled the same way as the extracurriculars.
Is it smoked the same way?
It isn't smoked the same way, but it still is Blunt nonetheless. But Jamar Jefferson, I mean, this guy can definitely run the football, BC. And if he's able to see some success against the Cal Bears, I think Oregon State can pull this one off, BC, especially because they're at home. What are they, like a touchdown dog here in this game?
Touchdown dog, Campbell. It'd be crazy to see Cal get smoked once again. But let's go to the biggest game of the weekend on ESPN, Mississippi State at LSU, Campbell. It's number 22 at number 5. The Tigers hosting the Bulldogs. And the line here is LSU minus a touchdown, open 7 down to 6.5. They're 4-0 at home, 6-1 overall. And you have the Bulldogs 4-2, but a very sneaky team.
Yeah, no, very sneaky team, BC. Nick Fitzgerald, great quarterback. And I'm looking at their two losses. They went on the road at Kentucky, which, you know, Kentucky, we know, is not a pushover this season. Benny Snell, he's really up there in the Heisman race, and they lost that one 28-7. So that was their worst loss of the year. But it was at the time when Kentucky was really, really high. Like, and I mean, they were really confident, right? They were just undefeated. They were rolling. And that was one of their best victories of the year, right, against Mississippi State. I'm pretty sure we got burned on this one, BC. And, of course, Mississippi State, the next week, they come home and they play Florida, and they play a great game, very boring, 13-6 final. They lose to Florida, and now we've learned that Florida is a pretty decent football team as well, you know, beating LSU, and the SEC is clearly far and beyond the best conference in college football once again. Not every year, but this year, I will say they are the best conference. They are the deepest conference in college football, and then they go and beat number 8 Auburn. at home. Of course, Auburn, again, not the team we thought they were, but this is going to be an interesting matchup. I think Mississippi State can hang with LSU, but all credit due to Ed Orgeron and LSU. I mean, Eddie got a lot of shit going into the season. No one really believed in him or the LSU Tigers in general. And of course, they beat the number two Georgia Bulldogs, a defense that I think was a little bit overrated, BC. LSU put 36 points up against that Georgia defense. Georgia only put up 16 up against them. So I think this is going to be a great game, but I think LSU might be a little bit high off of that win. And I think Mississippi State in the points is probably the lean. No official play here.
Well, you mentioned one of the two losses. I'd agree that SEC is the strongest conference in college football. One of the two losses that Mississippi State suffered was to the Kentucky Wildcats, who are hosting Vanderbilt, the Commodores, Campbell. And they're 11.5-point favorites, some money coming in on the Wildcats, laying the points. That's right, Campbell, they're 11-point favorites in a football game. And, I mean, call me crazy, is this team ranked number 14 in the nation? And now they're in Lexington looking to move to 6-1 overall and 4-1 in the SEC. You're going to have Vanderbilt at 0-4 in the SEC after this game. What are you thinking? Any chance we should lay the 11?
I love Benny Snell. I really love this guy, and I think he's going to run all over Vanderbilt, especially because they're at home. If this game was on the road at Vanderbilt, it might be a little bit of a different story, but Kentucky coming off of a loss, I believe they had a bye, right? Because that Texas A&M game where they lost, I think that was a couple weeks ago, actually. But
and it's funny because Benny Snell's averaging 220 per game or something, and he only had 70 in that A&M game. So you can imagine how that even throws off the average a little bit. But the guy is off the charts.
Yeah, and Kentucky beat South Carolina by 2 touchdowns. Vanderbilt lost to South Carolina at home by 23. So just comparing and contrasting those two things right there, I mean, Vanderbilt struggled against Tennessee State. I mean, that's a high school team in D.C., and that was at home. So, you know, Vanderbilt, for the most part, they usually have a pretty solid defense. They show up, but this is on the road, BC, and Kentucky's going to win the football game. I'd probably lean at laying the points with Kentucky. I think they're going to be able to pound the ball, get a nice lead, bleed the clock, and be able to hold on to a nice double-digit victory here.
Well, let's talk about your favorite game of the week, Campbell, the Oregon Ducks at the Washington State Cougars. Now, it looks like ESPN Game Day will be headed to, where is that, Pullman, Washington, Campbell. Yep. This is going to be an interesting one. I'm 100% sure that you're taking Oregon and the field goal. Earlier in the week, we saw this game at Pick'em. There was no favorite. And Washington State moved to 1, moved to 2, and now they're 3-point favorites. They're coming off a bye, some extra time to prepare. Are they coming off a bye, or did they just have an extra few days?
No, they're coming off a full bye.
And then Oregon coming off an amazing, you know, last-second victory against Washington. Looked like flashbacks of the Stanford game, but they were able to pull that one off. And now, you know, they really should win this game, Campbell. I mean, they are the better football team, but the sharps, you can't deny it. And lots of sharp money coming in on the Cougars.
Yeah, I couldn't believe this line when I saw it, BC. And that's why it had me jumping on Oregon because, what was it? Oregon was a dog, like 1.5-point dog, I think it opened up as. And then it flipped to Oregon being a 1.5-point favorite. I mean, I just saw that, BC, and honestly, I thought it was going to continue to move in that direction. I thought it was going to continue to be Oregon, maybe -2, -3, and so on and so forth. Of course, it goes back to Washington being favored, and now they're favored by 2.5, 3, 3.5 in some books, but every time it gets to 3.5, the Oregon backers are just pounding it. So it seems like this number is going to stop at 3. That's the perfect number right there for Washington State. I took Oregon at -1, so I got the worst of the number there. But hey, all I need is a victory. I mean, if they win by 1, I get my money back. But all I need is an Oregon victory, BC. So I'm personally invested in that game at Oregon -1. Now, Washington State, 8 straight wins against the spread versus Oregon, and 8 straight wins against the spread at home. So the trends and the numbers are not looking good for the Ducks. And that's a little bit scary for me because Pullman is a very difficult place to play. I'm so happy that this is not a Friday night matchup, because Friday night games in Pullman are the absolute
That's just the devil in the Pac-12. Martin Stadium, it's going to be 4:30 p.m. on Fox. Campbell, number 25 hosting number 12.
Yeah, so thankfully this is prime time college game day. It's the second college game day.
Ducks are going to be up for this game, Campbell.
It's the second college game day for the Oregon Ducks, BC. And I thought we were going to get three. I thought we were going to have one against Washington last week.
Well, you guys behave yourself, you'll have another one.
I can't get greedy over here, right? Now, Washington State, a couple other notes here. They have 8 wide receivers with double-digit receptions. We know they don't run the football at all. Gardner Minshew, he's going to be gunning, BC, and Oregon is going to need to tackle in space well. That's going to be the key to the game. So you're going to watch this game, and you're going to see Minshew just tossing the ball left, right, up the field, short, you name it. And if Oregon is wrapping up and tackling well, Oregon is going to win the football game. If they're not tackling well, BC, and they're letting these guys get into space and shake and bake and make big plays and big chunk plays at a time and move down the field in 2 minutes and score, it's going to be a long, long game. But the positive is that I saw that Washington State USC game, BC, where JT Daniels, the freshman, put up 241 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no picks against that Washington State defense, and USC beat them 39-36. So Justin Herbert, if he is in fact the number one draft pick like everyone is talking about, he could feast in this game. And, you know, guys like Dylan Mitchell, right, are going to have to really step up, and he has been so far. So look for Herbert to have a lot of opportunities to make big plays in this game, and look for the Oregon defense to really focus on tackling in space, and that's going to be another big key to the game. I like Oregon in the points, you're right, BC, I just can't help it. And even more so, I like the over in this game. It's gone up from 65, 66, all the way up to 68.5 now. I'm going to go ahead and take the over. Take Oregon in the points and the over. It's going to be a nice little shootout in Pullman.
Here's another shootout marked at 68.5 as well on the total. We're talking Ohio State at Purdue. The Buckeyes at the Boilermakers, Campbell. Line here is 2 touchdowns. The Buckeyes are favored by Dwayne Haskins, 7-0 overall, 4-0 in the Big Ten. And you got Purdue at 3-3 overall. So, you know, are they going to just blow them out start to finish? Or is this something that Purdue at home can maybe surprise the Buckeyes, hang with them? You got David Blough. See, in the beginning of the year, they were kind of stuck on who's going to be their quarterback. Right, playing the 2-quarterback system. Now let's get the party popping, no problem. Do they have enough offense to hang?
Yeah, David Blough, 10 touchdowns, 2 picks on the season. He's almost thrown for 2,000 yards. Jesus. You know, after those first couple games, they were trying to figure out, is it Sindelar, is it Blough, like you were saying. And DJ Knox on the rushing attack, I mean, he's doing big things. Rondale Moore, the freshman sensation. So Purdue's got playmakers. They started 0-3. It wasn't too long ago when they lost that game against Missouri by 3 points at home, and they were 0-3, and it's like, oh my God, this Purdue team is 0-3, but they really could be 3-0. I mean, they lost every single one of their games by a touchdown. I mean, it's like the most they lost was by 4 points.
Right, they were in every game.
So they were in every single game. They go after that and beat Boston College. They beat Nebraska on the road. They beat Illinois on the road. They blow them out by 40. And now here they are, Ohio State Buckeyes in town, ABC, nationally televised. This is a huge moment for this Purdue program to make a statement, but I just don't think it's going to be enough, BC. Dwayne Haskins is a Heisman contender, and he's a top 3 Heisman candidate. He's going to New York, BC. He's going to be sitting there when they announce the Heisman.
He's going to get drafted, Campbell. Goodell's going to call his name.
And he might be the Heisman Trophy winner this season. So I just think Ohio State Buckeyes are going to take care of business in this game. And I think they end up covering the spread, BC.
Definitely a big number to cover, but we're talking about number 2 in the nation, so you can't be too surprised if they're able to pull that one off. Let's go to the UCLA Bruins, who started the year 0-5, and now they're a touchdown favorite, even more. They're 8-point favorites against the Arizona Wildcats, Khalil Tate, who I want to beat a dead horse, but has really surprised us in a negative way this year. So, you know, this is an interesting one because UCLA is just way too big of a favorite. But, you know, after beating Cal, what was that, 37-7 last week on the road,
wow,
you certainly got to expect them to come home and follow up Chip Kelly's first win with another one, you know. But at the same time, Arizona, what's going on with them? And you'd expect them to be able to hang within eight. This one's on ESPN2 at 7:30.
My God, it's so crazy how this season has flipped for the Arizona Wildcats and the UCLA Bruins. Both teams trending in opposite directions right now. Arizona, just awful, BC. Just not living up to expectations. They got pounded by Utah at Utah. And that's not necessarily surprising, but losing by 32, I didn't think that. And UCLA, I mean, they hung in there against Washington. Now, of course, the game against Washington, they were at home, and Washington was in a look-ahead situation, of course, looking ahead to that Oregon matchup. So, you know, that's kind of my thought there on why Washington was not able to cover the football game in that one. But going on the road at Cal and beating a very tough Cal football team, which really, I mean, really challenged the Oregon Ducks, you know, a couple weeks back. So winning by 30 at Cal is very impressive. I think UCLA is kind of finding their groove just at the same time as Nebraska's kind of finding their groove. BC, you kind of see what I'm saying here, right?
Okay.
These two new head coaches, Oregon coaches, and
okay,
it's halfway through the season.
Okay,
kind of
finding
their groove
type of thing. Okay.
Right? And so I think, and it speaks to how good they are as coaches, BC. I mean, these are great football coaches, and it's only going to be a matter of time until they figure it out and they start playing well. It happened to be halfway through the season. Neither of these teams are going to be, I mean, neither of these teams are probably going to a bowl game. They have to win out, literally. But I think UCLA definitely gets this victory against an underperforming Arizona team and a Khalil Tate that's very, very frustrated. He's probably already thinking about the NFL, BC. He's like, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to, I mean, I don't know how his draft stock's looking now at this point, but I think Arizona is just absolutely deflated. And I think UCLA is inspired after that victory, coming home and looking for a second one.
Yeah, I think they're coming home. They're looking to kind of turn the season into a positive ending. And maybe they could go bowling. I mean, call me crazy. They'd have to win a lot of games to close it out. But let's talk about a couple undefeated teams as we wrap up this episode, Campbell. Bonus time. Noon game, a 12:30 kickoff on ESPN, NC State at Clemson. This team is 5-0. They're 2-0 in the ACC. And Clemson 3-0 in the ACC, 6-0 overall. And, you know, the story here is the Wolfpack offense, Campbell, very balanced. And they've got, what is that, the ACC's top passing attack, over 330 yards per game. How do you want to do it? And then on the other side, don't get me started with number 3 in the nation, Clemson. This is number 16 NC State, and they're getting 17 points. Can they hang?
Yeah, NC State can definitely hang in this football game, BC. I'm going to be very excited to watch this game. And this is these are two undefeated football teams. And I don't know how many football teams in college football are undefeated currently, but I believe it's less than 10. It might be even 5.
And I don't know how many of them would be getting 2 touchdowns and a field goal and a hook.
And they're undefeated.
And they're undefeated.
And in conference.
I think Clemson's going to win the game, no question. Clemson is just better than them in every facet. But 17 points for an undefeated team, I mean, you kind of want to grab that, right?
Yeah, you want to grab that. And it's just so crazy, that number, BC. But Clemson is so good. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence, he is the future. We know Kelly Bryant is no longer there. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, where he's going to transfer out and play next year. Maybe he goes to Oregon, BC. I don't know. Probably not. But Travis Etienne, I believe I pronounced that right, but he is the running back for the Clemson Tigers, and he is averaging 9.2 yards per carry, BC, 11 touchdowns on the ground. So this guy can run the football, and NC State is going to really have to hold him in check, because if they don't hold him in check, well, he's going to run all over you, and then Trevor Lawrence is going to throw over the top, and the next thing you know, you're down by 3 touchdowns, and they're covering the spread. So, and Clemson is at home, and, you know, they've been here, done that. Clemson is a college football playoff team. They've done it, you know, whatever, 3 of the last 5 years, whatever it's been. And so this is not going to be easy for NC State, but you know that they're coming into this game very prepared. Ryan Finley was one of those dark horse Heisman candidates coming into the season. We talked about this preseason. He's having a great season. 70% completion percentage, 10 touchdowns, only 3 picks. The problem is that NC State doesn't have much of a running game. Their leading rusher is just over 300 yards on less carries than Travis Etienne on Clemson. So NC State is going to have to solely rely on their passing game here to make plays. Ryan Finley is going to have the game of his life if the NC State Wolfpack are going to hang in this game. But yeah, I mean, I guess if you had to put a gun to my head, BC, I would take the points with NC State because this is an undefeated football team. It is in conference, and
they're going to be coming to play. I mean, if they score first, if they put any points on the board, they should be able to keep it close. But at the same time, Clemson is going to do this with blocked punts and pick sixes and just winning on offense, defense, and special teams.
And on top of that, BC, I mean, just looking at last year, NC State only lost by 7 against number 4 Clemson. It was a 38-31 game. So, you know, NC State has the ability to hang in. They were up in that game 14-7 at the end of the first quarter. The second half is where they kind of let it fall apart. So maybe even taking a first half NC State number, BC.
Now
so I'm
going to
be looking at that possibly.
I like that. Let's keep our minds open here, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a pleasure having you here with us on the Dollar Parlay. If you do decide to hop in on the late night degenerate special with Nevada, Hawaii, Campbell, which way would you guide them?
Oh, man, the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. I mean, I love what they're doing. I love their quarterback this year, and that's all I got to say on that one, BC. So let's go ahead and lay the Rainbow Warriors.
No, don't lay the Rainbow Warriors. I like Nevada because last week they were like 17.
Is this on the road? Is this at Hawaii? Or is this
it's at Hawaii, and it's a very late 9 p.m. kickoff.
It's at Hawaii, BC. Nevada's got to travel across the sea.
Yeah, but that's fine. This thing isn't even televised, dude. Don't worry about the home field advantage, Nevada.
Well, if you're really itching for some action, go ahead and do it, but we're not.
Take the dog.
We're not putting our names on it.
Anyways, it's been a pleasure having you, ladies and gentlemen. The promo code at MyBookie is $25. We've been brought to you by the Armchair All-Americans. Hashtag take a seat.
Happy winnings, people.